The Danes saw them, and there were shouts of warning, and almost immediately I felt the pressure lessen to my front as the rearward Danes turned to meet the new threat. I rammed Wasp-Sting out to pierce a man's shoulder, and she went deep in, grating against bone. But the man twisted away, snatching the blade out of my hand. So I drew serpent breath and shouted at my men to kill the bastards. This was our day, I shouted, and Odin was giving us victory. Forward now, forward to battle slaughter. Beware the man who loves battle. Raven had told me that only one man in three, or perhaps one man in four, is a real warrior, and the rest are reluctant fighters. But I was to learn that only one man in 20 is a lover of battle. Such men were the most dangerous, the most skillful, the ones who reaped the souls, and the ones to fear. I was such a one, and that day beside the river where the blood flowed into the rising tide, and beside the burning boats, I let Serpent Breath sing her song of death. I remember little, except a rage, an exultation, a massacre. This was the moment the Skalds celebrate, the heart of the battle that leads to victory. And the courage had gone from those Danes in a heartbeat. They had thought they were winning, thought they had trapped us by the burning ships, and thought to send our miserable souls to the afterworld. And instead, the Ferd of Defnashir came on them like a storm. Forward! I shouted. Wessex! Leofric bellowed. Wessex! He was hacking with his axe, chopping men to the ground, leading the Heyhengel's crew away from the fiery ships. The Danes were going backward, trying to escape us, and we could choose our victims. Serpent Breath was lethal that day. Hammer a shield forward, strike a man off balance, thrust the blade forward, push him down, stab into the throat, find the next man. I pushed a Dane into the smouldering remnants of a campfire, killed him while he screamed. And some Danes were now fleeing to their unburned ships, pushing them into the flooding tide. But Ubba was still fighting. Ubba was shouting at his men to form a new shield wall to protect the boats. And such was Ubba's hard will, such his searing anger, that the new shield wall held. We hit it hard, hammered it with sword and axe and spear, but again there was no space, just the heaving, grunting, breath-stinking struggle. Only this time it was the Danes who stepped back, pace by pace, as Odda's men joined mine to wrap around the Danes and hammer them with iron. But Ubba was holding his rearguard firm, holding them under the Raven banner. In every moment that he held us off, another ship was pushed away from the river's bank. All he wanted to achieve now was to save men and ships, to let a part of his army escape, to let them get away from this press of shield and blade. 6 Danish ships were already rowing out to the Sefern Sea, and more were filling with men. I screamed at my troops to break through, to kill them. But there was no space to kill, only blood-slicked ground and blades stabbing under shields and men heaving at the opposing wall and the wounded crawling away from the back of our line. And then, with a roar of fury, Ubba hacked into our line with his great war axe. I remembered how he had done that in the fight beside the Yawash, how he had seemed to disappear into the ranks of the enemy only to kill them. And his huge blade was whirling again, making space, and our line went back, and the Danes followed Ubba, who seemed determined to win this battle on his own and to make a name that would never be forgotten among the annals of the Northmen. The battle madness was on him, the rune sticks were forgotten, and Ubba Lothbroxen was making his legend. Another man went down, crushed by the axe, and Ubba bellowed defiance. The Danes stepped forward behind him, and now Ubba threatened to pierce our line clean through. I shoved backward, going through my men, and went to where Ubba fought. There I shouted his name, called him the son of a goat, a turd of men, and he turned, eyes wild, and saw me.